The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
On Friday, Donald Trump announced that he would impose 50% tariffs on the European Union after saying that negotiations with the EU were going nowhere. Yesterday, however, he said he'd extend the imposition of the 50% tariffs to the 9th of July following a call with European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen. Donald Trump had this to say about that phone call.
She just called me, as you know, and she asked for an extension on the June 1st date. And she said she wants to get down to serious negotiation because I've told you specifically, but I told anybody that would listen, they have to do that. And we had a very nice call and I agreed to move it. I believe July 9th would be the date. That was the date she requested. Could we move it from June 1st to July 9th? And I agreed to do that. And that she said we will rapidly get together and see if we can work something out.
So that means we're back where we started July the 9th, 3 months after the original 90-day pause on tariffs that were scheduled to come into effect on the 9th of April. So what does this mean for the likelihood of a deal? How are negotiations proceeding with the European Union? Well, joining us now, Thomas Byrne, Minister of State for European Affairs and Defence. Minister, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
How do you deal with a guy like that?
Well, I suppose what we want to make sure is we can inject some predictability into the relationship between the EU and the US. It's a bit unpredictable at the moment, and I think the best way for us is to stay calm, stay measured. I think we are right not to just immediately react to every, you know, utterance over the weekend. And look, talks will continue as they had been doing until the president tweeted on Friday morning.
But I mean, when you have a situation where a deal. Well, not a deal, but an agreement was there that this imposition of tariffs would be delayed for 90 days. And then mercurially, he decides suddenly that it's going to happen 10 days hence instead of waiting for the 9th of July. And then after a phone call, probably he sees it as some sort of a crawling phone call from Ursula von der Leyen. He decides to go back to the original date. So we win nothing by that phone call except what we had.
Yeah, and what we had was very, very important. And I think it was actually very important that the President of the Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, spoke to President Trump, because I don't think they've had a one-on-one call up to now. She may have been on another call with other leaders. So that's very, very important, because that relationship is really, really important. Commissioner Sefcovic and the US Commerce Secretary and the Trade Representative are discussing these things. But ultimately, if there's any problems, or indeed at the end of the day, these issues go to leaders. And I think it is important that the leaders have a working relationship. And I think that call last night is particularly important in that respect.
Now, how do you deal with with someone who doesn't really really understand what's going on? I mean, he said in one of his Truth Social tweets, the European Union, which was formed for the primary purpose of taking advantage of the United States on trade. I mean, that's what he believes.
Well, that's not the case. I mean, the European Union originally formed as the Coal and Steel Union, which the idea of that was to merge the coal and steel industry. So actually, not just that you get economic efficiencies, but you couldn't actually manufacture weapons against each other, and particularly France and Germany. So that's the origin. Let's get the facts straight on that. However, the European Union is a very important entity in world trade affairs. There's no doubt about that, because of our size, because of our predictability, because of our, you know, regulation, our business-friendly environment. And I think that that is a fact, and that we are, thankfully, part of that entity, which is very, very strong on the global stage. And they are, you know, on our behalf, the Commission are tough negotiators, and they should be. And Ireland has benefited hugely from trade and open trade around the world over the last number of years. And our membership of the European Union has been critical to that. So this is very important for us. The European Union are very good at what they do on all of our behalf. And there's Irish people in that setup, you know, working on our behalf there as well. And we just have to let these negotiations play out. And undoubtedly, the EU will be, you know, will not be easy pickings for anybody. And I think that's very important. At the end of the day,
okay,
though,
but
I think...
looking at what he is objecting to, trade barriers, VAT taxes, ridiculous corporate penalties, non-monetary trade barriers, monetary manipulations, unfair and unjustified lawsuits against American corporations, and so on and so forth. I mean, when he talks about VAT, VAT is a sales tax. They have sales tax all over America. The guy doesn't understand that we pay VAT as well. So it's not a penalty on American companies. It's a penalty, if it is a penalty, on all of us. He doesn't seem to get that.
Well, I think we have to remember as well that the European Union is there actually to protect citizens, whether it's environmental regulation, whether it's food safety standards, or whether it's fair trade standards as well. And companies are going to be fined because they've done things that don't benefit consumers. And I think that we are willing to talk as an EU on certain issues. I mean, certainly there's talk about perhaps more gas purchases or whatever into the EU as a whole. But I don't think we should compromise in any way on food safety standards, because that's very, very important to us. And that's partially why we have the EU, to make sure that we have those high standards of consumer protection. I think citizens in Ireland and across the EU greatly value them.
I presume when he's talking about lawsuits against American companies, he's talking about maybe the Digital Services Act and the kind of things that American companies are not allowed to do, nor indeed is any non-EU country allowed, for example, to move the information of European citizens across borders, that kind of thing. And companies have sustained huge fines on foot of their infringements. I mean, that's not going to change.
No, it's not. Now, I think we can do a lot in the EU on the area of cutting red tape. And there's a lot of work going on following the report from Mario Draghi and others last year. So there is that work going on at the moment to cut red tape and to make sure business is not totally burdened with red tape and reporting obligations and all of that. But that's not the same as letting companies run wild either. And I think that we have to have a balance there. So I think we can do a lot for business. I think the EU has been fantastic for business. We've lots of businesses have grown from it. But we cannot allow business to take advantage of consumers. And that's not going to happen in the EU under any circumstances.
Now, we know that they have a surplus with the EU in terms of services. And again, that seems to go over Donald Trump's head. I mean, what do you do when you're negotiating with someone who doesn't seem to get the basics?
Well, look, I think that I would hope that there will be a comprehensive trade agreement working out from this. I think Maris Sefcovic and others are good at this. They will do this. They will understand the entirety of the economic relationship, which is very, very two-way. And even if there's a good surplus or a goods deficit or a services or whatever it is, it works both ways. And there are lots of components of products made in Europe that go to America. And then there are services that we buy in from America as well. But there are crucial sectors where it runs the other way. So I think we need a comprehensive agreement. We need to support trade deals. And by the way, Pat, we need to get real in this country, in the political system, particularly with trade deals, because every time we have a trade deal, the Canada trade deal being an example, we get criticism. And then when we're asked, well, what's the answer to these tariffs? Well, the answer, of course, is a trade deal. And an agreement between the two entities. And that's what has to happen. I think we have, as a country, really benefited significantly from trade around the world. We're a small island. We don't have enough people to sell our own products to ourselves or our own services to ourselves. We have to export around the world to make a living for the country. And that's why trade agreements are so important. And I think it's really, really important that we get the Canada trade agreement fully ratified in the Dáil. There was huge upset over that over many years. It was I complained that there was mystery given to it by calling it CETA, but effectively it's a trade agreement with Canada that brings lots of benefits. And then let's hope we can have an agreement with America as well. And I think that will only bring benefits for this country.
Yeah, I mean, I used to think that there would be sensible people in the room because we knew what Trump was like the last time. I mean, I would wake up every morning during his first term wondering what fresh nonsense would be coming from the White House. But he has gathered around him this time people of very much like mind and people who are clearly pulling the levers of power, because he says things and he talks about things that he really has no knowledge of. So there are other people, perhaps malign people behind him, who have different ideas. So, I mean, is there any hope really for any kind of a sensible outcome to this?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I mean, Howard Lutnick is obviously a TV performer, but he's also a pretty established business person at a global level as well. And he's the Commerce Secretary. The Treasury Secretary, similarly, is a very accomplished business person. The trade representative from America is a very, very serious person, Jemison Greer, who has studied in France and studied in Europe. And he's a former senior lawyer in the area of trade. So these are not jokers. These are very, very serious people. But on the other hand, in the EU, we have very, very serious people negotiating for us. And I think that there are adults in the room and that we can get this worked out if we're given the time, which President Trump has now agreed with the Commission President to do so. And I think that can happen.
I'm looking at some of the texts coming in. By moving the date for possible tariffs, does that not demonstrate how reasonable President Trump is? You can't have it both ways. That's from Kevin. I mean, that's nonsense, because it was agreed that there would be a 90-day period for negotiation. Trump unilaterally changed it on Friday in a fit of pique. And then after a call with Ursula von der Leyen, he changed it back. That's not exactly a concession.
No, I mean, it's not. It's, I suppose, indicative of maybe the way the relationship between the US and various entities has been over the last period of time. And also reminded always, and we know this always, and reality hits everybody in the face, that a tariff will not move manufacturing capacity from one country to another overnight. So if you put a tariff on pharma, or if you put a tariff on semiconductors, those factories are not going to suddenly disappear in the US. It's not going to happen. We have a complicated global supply chain. We all benefit from it. And when the reality of that is shown to people, or the reality comes at you, as it did on the Chinese tariffs a few weeks ago, there's a quick reverse course. The fundamental laws of economics and trade do not change throughout all of this social media activity. And I think we just have to have patience and continue the work that we're doing through the European Commission.
All right. So you expect some sort of a deal. Just a final point is, you know, we know what America can do to us. They can say, you know, we won't take your cars, we won't take your butter, we won't take your alcohol, da-da-da, or we'll slap tariffs on so high that it becomes unaffordable and therefore you'll sell nothing in the USA. What is Europe's big weapon against the United States?
Well, look, I mean, if they tell us we won't take your pharma, then they are in serious trouble. We'd be in trouble too, there's no mistake about that. But they would be in serious trouble in terms of their medicine supply chain. And I think that I think that's the reality. At a different level, all these products are needed. That's why people buy them. And I think that is certainly something strong that we have.
No, but on financial services, we have the nuclear option. We can actually shut them down. Now, whether that would hurt Ireland a lot while benefiting Europe in the negotiations, but...
Nuclear options don't tend to benefit anybody. They tend to destroy everybody. So I think we're better off staying calm, staying measured, and staying tough as well. We have to have, I mean, obviously there's been countermeasures proposed and considered, and I think we have to make sure that we adopt a tough stance. There's no question about that, because the American administration will be under internal pressure. Inflation undoubtedly will start to tick up as a result of what's already happening, and the uncertainty does not help polling numbers, which we know that President Trump looks at every day. So we need that certainty for ourselves, but so too, ultimately, at the end of the day, does the American government.
Thomas Byrne, Minister of State for European Affairs and Defence, thank you very much for joining us. More of the texts coming in. Time to plan our lives without the United States. Trump is facilitating two bloody wars while using his tariffs as a distracting smokescreen. Trade cannot come before humanity. And this one, listening to Trump speak is like listening to a toddler telling a story. It's just nonsensical rambling, and you're constantly on edge that he might throw a tantrum. Well, now, an example of rambling. Donald Trump gave a commencement address to the students at the United States Military College at West Point over the weekend. He told graduates they'd be the first to serve in the golden age of America as a result of his efforts to rebuild the military and reshape American society. He also talked about stealth bombers and whether or not if they built the wing one way, it would become invisible, and if they built it another way, it would be visible. Anyway, in his speech, he had this advice for graduates.
Don't lose your momentum. Momentum's an amazing thing. Keep it going. I tell a story sometimes about a man who was a great, great real estate man. He built Levittowns. He started as a man who built one house. Then he built two. Then he built five. Then he built 20. Then he built 1,000. Then he built 2,000 and 3,000 a year. And he got very big, very big. He was great at what he did. And he became very rich, became a very rich man. And then he decided to sell. He was offered a lot of money by a big conglomerate, Gulf and Western, big conglomerate. They didn't do real estate. They didn't know anything about it, but they saw the money he was making. They wanted to take it to a public company. And they gave him a lot of money. And he sold his company. And he had nothing to do. He ended up getting a divorce, found a new wife. Could you say a trophy wife? I guess we can say a trophy wife. It didn't work out too well. But it doesn't, and that doesn't work out too well, I must tell you. A lot of trophy wives, doesn't work out. But it made him happy for a little while at least. But he found a new wife. He sold his little boat and he got a big yacht. He had one of the biggest yachts anywhere in the world. And time went by and he got bored. And 15 years later, the company that he sold to called him and they said, the housing business is not for us. He bought it. He thought he made a great deal and he was all excited. But it was 15 years later, he lost a lot of momentum. Remember the word momentum.
So that's a little parable from Donald Trump about trophy wives and real estate, given, believe it or not, to the men who will be running the U.S. defense over the coming decades.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.